Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Kicking off the week with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, barring incident, of course. So you can get over there and check them out. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we've also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? All right. Well, it is our favorite way to start the week. Dan's favorite hitters and pitchers of the week, and I believe we start in the AL, don't we, with hitter?
Yeah.
So who did you? I'm trying to remember the order. I'm trying to keep track of them. I don't have a Google sheet. I should have made one. So yeah, we start with AL hitter. So who's your AL hitter of the week?
Hold on, I gotta find him.
Oh, Dan Lop.
BD.
See what happens when he doesn't eat.
There we go.
When he doesn't tell me his picks, he this is what happens. So.
Yeah. Well, it's just I'm on the train, so the Wi-Fi isn't as great. But and then I clicked on his name, so it's not giving me the last 7 days. But Sir BD Gregorius, you know, he played in 7 games last week. 28 at bats, he had 7 runs, 10 hits, just 1 double, but he hit 4 home runs last week with 10 RBIs, which I thought was huge. The 3 walks, he only struck out 6 times. Batting average of 357, with an on-base percentage of 419, slugging 821. You know, MLB has Wilson Ramos as the number one guy with the 500 batting average, but I just felt overall DD really just tore it up last week. How did you? Well, I know he's on one of your teams. How did you like those numbers?
Oh yeah. Well, you know what's funny is I was going to bring him up a little bit, you know, after we kind of got through all this with you, because I kind of find it humorous that, you know, all the Shohei Ohtani talk has kind of went away, but yet, you know, they've just kind of stopped talking about MVP, and I just wonder why Didi hasn't been mentioned.
Well, you know what they'll say, it's too early.
Yeah, well, now it's too early. So,
yeah,
you know, when they were all excited about, you know, Ohtani, and he was the greatest thing since sliced bread, you know, everything was fine to talk about it, but now that he's been, you know, basically a bust, and now he's out, yeah, you know, no one wants to talk about MVP. Oh, it's too early to talk about MVP. There's still 130 games left. Why are we talking about MVP? Jackasses. All right, well, let's slide over into the National League then. Who did you who'd you go with there as your hitter?
Oh, this week in the National League, it kind of surprised me coming from the team he's on, but Joey Votto. He was in 7 games. He played all week last week, too. Only 25 at-bats compared to Didi's 28. 7 hits? I don't know. My numbers got too small. But I know he had 4 home runs with 8 RBIs. He had a 3 batting average, but a 543.0 on base, and an 880 slugging. So he was just a monster last week for Cincinnati.
Well, you know, they need something good to happen there. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, but not batting first in the lineup. first in the lineup, he loses out on roughly eight at bats.
You didn't want to take Ronald Acuna Jr. as your hitter of the week there?
I mean, they did great, but I just really liked his numbers.
All right. Well, we'll jump over back to the AL, you know. And so we'll go with your American League pitcher of the week. Who did you go with?
Well, I'm just gonna go with the New York Yankees. No, it was a big toss up between CeCe and Tanaka. I went with CeCe. You know, they both had two wins last week. CeCe had 13 innings. 13 innings, gave up 7 hits, only allowed 1 earned run. Sorry, I'm bouncing back and forth. Only walked 2 and struck out 8, leaving his opponent's batting average to a measly 149. So his whip was down there at 0.69. I felt like he had the best numbers for last week, but, you know, Tanaka was right there with him, only giving up 5 hits with 1 earned run and 14 strikeouts. So, you know, take your man, but I like CeCe this week, especially coming back off the injury and coming into a season where I think everyone thinks he's down and kind of on his way out. They're pretty impressive numbers for, you know, just 7 weeks in April, or 7 days in April.
So it's an all Yankee awards ceremony this week, huh?
Yeah, and I'm not from the East Coast, go figure.
Yeah, how'd that happen? All right, so we jumped to the NL. Who did we go with there?
Oh, you're gonna think this is just biased, but you know, I was waiting for this
guy to have a
really good outing. Yes. How did you know? I was waiting for him to have at least one good outing. Little did I know he was going to have 2 good outings this week, and going 2-0 with an ERA of 69 in 2 games started with 13 innings, only 6 hits, 1 earned run. He did walk 8, but he struck out 9. And that would be, can you name him Big Jack?
Well, yeah, obviously it's a Tyler Chatwood, because I have him on one of my teams, I ended up with him. So yeah, he was a big addition this week. Still too many walks, but he, you know, he didn't give up any runs, which is the important part. So, when you start to look at the best pitcher in the National League last week, you know, when you kind of start to look at it. Oddly, I think the only other guy you could have looked at was Hunter Strickland, who was 4-for-4 with saves and didn't give up diddly squat. So,
he was actually one I wanted to bring up later. And you and I talked, and I think pre and post fantasy drafts, and he's been a guy you've been able to land on one of your teams almost every single year, more for the setup role. How does that make you feel that he's been kind of a pretty much just a great closer right now?
Yeah, and he is not on any of my teams this year. I was unable to, after years of having him. I did end up with Melanson on one team, and I was like, all right, that's cool. At least I got the closer, who's now on the 60-day DL. So we may not see him at all this year. And, you know, Strickland is going to reap the benefits of that, and I'm going to be the guy sitting there going, yeah, great. Had him like 3 years before this. Yeah, it didn't work out at all for me. This year he's a stud. So that'll teach me. I don't know what, but it'll teach me something. So,
yeah. No, I didn't really even look into it because I think I was more annoyed and rolled my eyes. But what is his injury, Melanson?
Oh, you know, I was just reading about it like last week. And what the heck did they, what were they? because I thought I read he was going to start to throw, and then all of a sudden it was kind of like, wait, he's on the 60-day DL. What do I have here? They say elbow, but it doesn't look like they go into too many details. Let me see. There, here's the latest article on him. Let me see if they give us something. See, they removed him from the 40-man roster. What it says is he recently resumed baseball activities while rehabbing his elbow strain, but he's apparently months away from being ready to go. So there you go, elbow strain.
So they just put him on the 60-day just to help themselves, just in case he's not ready by the 25th of May?
Well, they, you know, Joe Panik got hurt, so they needed to clear a spot on the 40-man roster so they could bring somebody up to take Panik's place. So by moving Melanson, that gets him off the 40-man. And, you know, like teams do, you know, they can retro-date that, you know, back to the start of the season. So, you know, it just means he's going to be out, what, we're about 30 days of the season. He's going to be out another 30 days.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, he pretty much, I think, pitched in a game and then was on a 10-day DL. I don't even know if he pitched in the majors this year.
No, he hasn't. He has not not pitched at all this season. So, yeah, just, you know, another one of those fun things here. So we'll have to see. But now this, Dan, this is kind of frightening here. You know, the Dodgers have, you know, they've gotten off to a shaky start. You know, and it's odd. I mean, it's unbelievable, I guess, the way I look at it is how much Justin Turner meant to that team that I don't think a lot of people realize. But now it's being reported that Corey Seager needs Tommy John surgery and will miss the remainder of the season. I mean, this team's just falling apart here, Dan. I mean, Puig went on the DL over the weekend. Now Seager's done. Turner's still a little away from coming back. Is this how they don't play off this year because everybody's going to get hurt? It's just their year, like my fantasy team?
Well, let's not forget they're starting, I believe it's a 3-game series with Arizona, who's been kind of hard now. So yes. You know, and I talked about it. I haven't looked at all, but this is the first time I'm looking. Standings, I figure we got essentially a month in, and Arizona's standing up there at 19-8. Kind of a big shocker for me. But, you know, with the Dodgers just being 2 games ahead of San Diego, you know, it's not really looking so great for them.
You know, it's one thing, you know, you lose a guy here or there. I know, you know, like Puig, you know, dinged up his hip. You know, not a huge deal. You know, he's gonna miss a few games. You know, he goes on the 10-day DL. You know, he should be good to go by the time, you know, the 10 days are up. I don't think that's anything that's gonna linger. But yeah, I mean, you look at this, and I mean, here's a guy, you know, former Rookie of the Year. You know, one of the, you know, up-and-coming best shortstops in the game. And, you know, now he's gone for, you know, the year. You know, I mean, depending on how long the rehab takes and, you know, all the other stuff that kind of goes with it, we may not see him till All-Star break of next year.
Well, and he's like the second position player I've heard of since Xavier and 80 to have to go undergo Tommy John.
I'm trying to remember. Did somebody didn't? I thought somebody else had it. Excuse me. You know, the sad part is I had to go in and get him out of my FanDuel lineup. I had him in my lineup tonight. So I had to go in and swap him out. I was like, wait a minute. Can't have that happen. So, but yeah, I, you know, just one of those. I don't even know how you describe the way the Dodgers year has gotten off to. I mean, it's just been injury prone, injury
Not
plagued.
great.
I mean, at least at least the so far the pitching seems to be staying together, but yeah, it's just yeah, just rough that, at this point. And it's like, man, can they hold this together, or what the like I said, is this just the year that they're gonna have to, I don't know, take a step back and get everybody healthy and give it a shot in 2019?
It might be.
Yeah, because I'm looking at it here, and Logan Forsythe had been filling in at third base. He's on the DL with a shoulder problem. Can't say I'm surprised at all that Rich Hill is on the DL. He has a cracked fingernail. Tom Kohler, who they brought in to hopefully try to fill that Brandon Morrow role, went out with a shoulder injury in spring training, and they moved him to this the 60-day DL. I mentioned Puig, who had the hip, they called it a hip pointer, and a left foot contusion. We talked about Justin Turner. They still expect him to miss about 6 to 8 weeks. And then don't forget, super prospect Jose Urias is out with a shoulder. They don't have any expected return for him. They say second half of the season. So, I mean, you look at the names on there. I mean, it's three everyday starters, one of your starting rotation guys, and then at one point in time, your best minor league prospect. That's a lot to lose. I mean, do you think any other team has suffered that volume of injury to say, those types of player? Oh, did I lose Dan? I heard it go quiet. Yeah, I lost Dan. Okay, well, we'll wait for Dan to recycle. It is that fun time where he will hit those dead spots and just kind of fall away. There he is. We got Dan back. Let's bring him in. All right, Dan, I was asking you, do you think any other team has lost, I don't know if you want to say quality or how you want to look at it, that the Dodgers have lost this year?
Well, the Angels. But
I don't know
no, I
if the
haven't
Angels
really
have
seen it. Or
the.
Patty, but no.
Yeah, but I don't think he's not on the DL. He's just day to day. So, but more and more, Dan, now it looks like Kiki was a really good pickup in our money league for Mr. Fantasy and I, because I'm guessing he's going to play short every day, right? So,
Yeah, well, no, I have him in the league too, so I'm glad I grabbed him.
yeah, it'll be it'll be interesting to see how they, how they fill it out. I know like Walker Buehler has done a nice job of, filling in his couple starts, but it looks like they're limiting his innings. He's only went 10 innings and 2 starts. I guess they're going to have to stretch him out. I know Ross Stripling is getting the start tonight, so I guess maybe he's the guy, to fill in for Hill, yeah, I don't know what they're doing because they have healthy guys. Who knows with these guys? I hope they're not going to try to do the six-man thing, are they?
I don't know what they're going to do. They have to do something.
Well, like the weird thing that baffles me with this move, Stripling has been fantastic out of the bullpen. He's came in, he's appeared in relief 10 times, covered 14 and a third innings. He has a 0.63 ERA. So I don't know why they would want to shake that up unless they're just really desperate for the start. But Maeda pitched last night. I don't know if maybe it's supposed to be Hill's turn in the rotation and they need the day.
Possibly. I don't believe they have a day off till like Thursday or Friday, Thursday this week.
Actually, let's see. Today's Monday. No, they don't. Yeah, they don't have a day off at all. It's a four gamer with the Diamondbacks and then the Padres after that. So.
Oh, I thought it was only a three game series.
Yeah, no, they've got it listed as four here, so that's what I'm going with. It could be three, but I'm going to guess this is correct. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just assume it's three by default.
Yeah, you know, most ideas it is, you know, three, so no shot there. But yeah, you know, they're 12-15. You know, I don't think anybody thinks the Diamondbacks are going to stay on the roll they are. You know, obviously they're a very good team, but, you know, they go 19-8 in your first 27 games is, you know, pretty good. You know, they're the best team probably in the National League right now. Again, the phrase was right now, not for the year. Relax there. Well, the Pirates have flipped a little. They're 17-11. The Mets are 17-9, so the Mets are right there as well. But, you know, I think I'm still taking the Diamondbacks over either the Pirates or the Mets. I don't know why anybody wouldn't. So, but yeah, I don't know. You know, they're kind of, you know, the Dodgers are kind of your adopted team there, Dan. Are you, what's your concern level right now? I mean, I know we got a long way to go, but, Turner's again, you know, we're looking at a possibility of not seeing Justin Turner for two more months. And Seager's gone for the year. That's that whole side of the infield. So, what's your panic level?
We gotta make one up, almost like the government system. But green is good, so I guess we're still in yellow, a yellowish orange color. Not quite red yet.
Yeah, you know, I mean. You know, I mean, I'm kind of of the belief that as long as they have Kershaw, I'm not going to count him out of anything. You know, as long as he's healthy and making his start. You know, I mean, I know he's pitched him a little tough luck. It's funny because I know everybody's kind of, well, you know, he's only won one game. I mean, when you look at his stats, he's got a 2.84 ERA. You know, he struck out 42 guys. He's only walked nine. You know, the home run has gotten him a little. He has given up five. So, you know, that's a little rough for him, but I mean, obviously he's not giving up any other runs. So, you know, they just get a little offense behind him and he'll start winning games. You know, I'm not really worried about that. So we'll have to, have to see how that goes. But yeah, I think still a little too early to plug it all the way to the top, but it's definitely, I think it's time to kind of start looking and see what the heck they can do.
Well, I mean, over the last couple of years, they've been able to pull guys kind of out of their system, out of nowhere, to fill spots. But you got to wonder, have they pulled everybody that they have? You know, who do they have down?
Yeah, I'm
always Oklahoma, but I know that's like single A. So that's digging deep.
I'm not sure who they have. Who they have left hanging around. I mean, you know, Bellinger's here. You know, obviously Seager, you know, one of those guys who's there. You know, Buehler's a pitcher. We mentioned Urias. So
Buck Farmer.
Buck Farmer's there. I know they did call up is it Alex Verdugo? I thought his name, or no, it was, I got to get his name here, I spot. Valerie, I think he's taking her spot on the roster. You know, they have a top outfield prospect, that's who Alex Verdugo is, but they don't really need an outfielder. I found a list here. Yeah, let me see if they have any infielders listed here that could possibly be. Well, these guys aren't going to help. They're both 19, so they're a long way away. Edwin Rios is 23. I'm guessing he's probably a AAA. He's a first baseman, third baseman. They have another guy, Matt Beattie, who's a first baseman, third baseman in Double A. Drew Jackson as a shortstop looks like he's in double A. So, yeah, I don't know if those guys are too far away. But they, you know, they do have some guys. So I guess we'll have to see, you know, if we see any of those names or, you know, like you said, yeah, maybe Verdugo comes up and Taylor spends some time back at short.
Oh, yeah, I did forget he can play the infield.
Yeah, you know, him and Kiki can spend some time playing shortstop and see how it goes. I know I'm looking trying to look at the other guys they have up. I know Max Muncy is an infielder, but I don't think he's a shortstop. Valera is a second baseman, so you got to wonder if maybe he could fill in there if necessary. So, I'm sure they'll find a way to hold down the fort. But, yeah, I would guess Kiki's going to be the first guy out there. But I did want to ask you, this came up yesterday, and I don't know if you saw the play. Did you see the, I guess the best way to describe it is the Bellinger double to Triples Alley yesterday, and then he got pulled out of the game after the at-bat by Dave Roberts?
I know. What happened? Did he gloat too much?
It's basically just what it sounds like. He hit the rocket into right center, you know, at, what is it, AT&T? Is that what it's called now, the Giant Stadium?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, you look at it, and it's, you know, it's called Triples Alley for a reason. And he's just dogging it. You know, he's trotting around first, and you can tell he's not going for third. He pulled up at second base. He just cruised in, didn't hustle, didn't do anything. And when he got back to the dugout, they took him out of the game.
Well, that's what he should have done. I'm all for that.
Yeah,
I'll
so,
look that one up. I didn't, you know, they didn't put that in the recaps. I got an hour, and honestly, it takes about 45 minutes to watch all the recaps, especially when everyone plays.
And obviously, this is one of those things that any fan or player would understand this, but it's the media that's going to make a big deal out of this. That's where this is all going to come.
Isn't this like Roberts the only guy who would do something in that manner?
No, I actually think Joe Maddon has done that with some of the younger Cub players. I think even a guy like Javi Baez. Just this year, your guy Ricky Renteria pulled Yoan Moncada for not hustling on a play.
Yeah, and so, you know, and you need more of these guys like that, because honestly, I don't remember the Maddon stuff, but even it goes back to when Castro played Starlin, and you remember the whole issue, the kick in dirt, and it was brought up by the broadcaster,
yeah.
And I you know, I don't even remember who was the coach then, because there was like, what, five different coaches at that time. Should have been, and it's not like, ooh, we're punishing the guy. We got to, you know, make a big press conference about it. But, you know, Bellinger didn't hustle. You're getting a little showtime-ish or big-headed. I forget what's the term we use. Showtime in it. So, you know, I'm all for it. Pull the kid. And let them know I pulled you because you dogged it. You didn't hustle.
Yeah. I didn't have any issue with it. I noticed on Twitter right away, you know, because I think I follow a couple of the Dodger reporters, and you know they were well, you know Corey Bell, Corey, you know Cody Bellinger's been removed from the game, but you know we don't know why, blah blah blah. Then at the end, they obviously caught up to him that, you know, Dave Roberts said, hey, you got to hustle. And, people also have to remember, we're talking about a 22-year-old kid here. He's only 22.
Yeah.
So, this is a great thing to try to, be like, hey, look, here you go. You know, pay attention. This is what you got to do. You know, this is how we play the game. So, you know, get it into his head and see if he can, see if he can do whatever, he needs to do to make it right now.
especially on a team that's, well, it shouldn't matter if they were, you know, on the heels of the Diamondbacks, but well, you know, when you're down in that four slot, only a game or two ahead of the Padres, you know, that's not some good stuff. Shouldn't be doing it one, no matter what, though.
Yeah, well, you know, that and the fact that, you know, they ended up losing the game 4-2. So, you know, I don't know if he scored or not on that double. I don't know if he was left standing out there. But, you know, I mean, if you get yourself to third base, there's a whole bunch of ways you can accidentally score from third base that you can't from second. So, you know, you need to take those bases when they're available or they're given to you and, you know, those kind of things. So, but yeah, I supported the move by Roberts. I was all for it. So. But then I realized, Dan, there's only one series that matters starting off the week of baseball. I was a little disappointed. So, but only one counts. Do you know which one that is? The only one that matters according to the media that I've been hearing about all day, and I had to actually go and look up who else was playing.
Are the Yankees and Red Sox playing again?
No. You're close though. You're half right.
The Angels and the Red Sox? Because we just wrapped up the
No,
Yankees
you
and
went
the
the
Red
wrong
Sox,
way
didn't
there.
we? Oh.
No, yeah, you went the wrong way there. You got rid of the team you were right on.
I have no clue.
The Yankees are at the Houston Astros.
Oh, the ALCS,
So
right?
yeah,
That's what we're calling it.
the rematch or whatever they want to call it there. But yeah, apparently this is the only series that matters. I couldn't find anybody talking about anything else when it comes to baseball. So I was a little disappointed because I was hoping to you know, find some other stuff. But sadly, no, nobody else wanted to talk about anything but Yankees Astros. And I get it, you know, they're two teams off to very good starts. But there are other teams and, you know, other games and, you know, that other kind of fun stuff that goes out there. But sadly, Dan, nobody cared.
Well,
Just you and I.
yeah, well, you know, and that kind of goes back to last week's series, two game series between the Cubs and the Indians. Everyone trying to make such a big deal out about it. Oh, but, well, number one, that was 2 years ago, and you know, like I actually answered my own question in my head, but I'll throw it out there to you anyways. Yankees Astros series coming up. It's the, you know, the only series that matters right now. I don't know if he's in the queue to be pitching in this series, but you know, does it really matter to Luis or I throw his name off? Or, you know, the pitcher who got rocked by the Astros. Now I can't even think of his name. I keep wanting to say Cervelli, but that's not
Severino?
him. Severino, there we
Severino.
go. Now, you know, is he really looking for any kind of retribution? Or, you know, I'm sure it's a good yeah if you can kind of, you know, get through and maybe get a W on them, but does it really matter seeing as it's not the playoffs? And
Well,
in two
that's
minutes,
one of
I'm
the
about to go
things like
break.
I was, yeah, I was trying to figure out is even if one of these teams sweep, does it matter right now? I mean, you know, like we were saying, there's 130 games left to play. You know what I mean? Obviously, okay, you want to say, well, you know, maybe it's a confidence booster or something like that. Okay, great. It's April, going into May. So, I don't know. But as Dan goes to break here, I'll tell you what else is going on. This game has already started. It's the Texas Rangers at the Cleveland Indians. Cole Hamels and Trevor Bauer are the starters in that game. The Mickey Mouse Network game of the night, believe it or not, actually isn't Yankees at Astros. It's Colorado Rockies at the Chicago Cubs. We got Kyle Freeland going against John Lester. This is an interesting series. The Pittsburgh Pirates, who are in first place in the NL Central, are at the Washington Nationals, who are actually four games under 500. Who had that going into the start of the season? Jamison Tyon starts for the Pirates, and Tanner Roark is the Nationals guy. The Kansas City Royals are at the Boston Red Sox. We got Jason Hamill and Eduardo Rodriguez as the starters. The Milwaukee Brewers are at the Cincinnati Reds. We got Julius Chacin and Brandon Finnegan getting the starts there. The Philadelphia Phillies are at the Miami Marlins. Jake Arrieta making the start for the Phillies tonight. We'll have to keep an eye on that. And Dan Straley going for the Marlins. I believe this is his season debut. He's coming off the DL. He's scheduled to start, so we'll have to see if he makes that tonight. The Tampa Bay Rays are at the Detroit Tigers. It's Jake Faria against Jordan Zimmermann in that game. Mentioned the Yankees are at the Astros. The starters in this game are Sonny Gray for the Yankees and Charlie Morton for the Astros. The Toronto Blue Jays are at the Minnesota Twins. It's Aaron Sanchez for the Jays and Lance Lynn for the Twins. Lynn's gotten off kind of a rough start, so let's see if he can do something against Toronto, who's been hitting the ball pretty well. You know, Dan and I talked about a little earlier. It's the Dodgers at the Diamondbacks. It is Ross Stripling for the Dodgers. They mentioned here he's getting a spot start for Rich Hill. So that's why he popped up in the rotation there instead of just skipping right to Kershaw. Zach Greinke is going for the Diamondbacks tonight. And then your night in MLB wraps up with the San Diego Padres at the San Francisco Giants. It's Eric Lauer for the Padres and Jeff Samardzija getting the start for the Giants there. I did go with Samardzija as my FanDuel pitcher. And just kind of a quick recap from yesterday. Mr. Fantasy actually won with his lineup. I did not. Nor did I win with my home run lineup. I did hit one, oddly. It seems that, and I don't know why this happens, when I use Adrian Gonzalez, he seems to homer. I've used him twice. He's homer both times. So I don't know how that's kind of worked out. It would be great if it would continue to happen, but I think we all know, you know, how that goes. But yeah, here's where I went tonight with this. I mentioned Samardzija is my starter. Joey Votto, who was Dan's NL hitter of the week, is my first baseman. He cost me $4,100. He's batting third for the Reds tonight. Brian Dozier is my second baseman, cost me $4,000. He's leading off for the Twins. I got Daniel Robertson at third base. He cost me $3,300. He's hitting fifth for the Rays. Another Red in my lineup here. I got Jose Peraza. He's hitting second for the Reds. Cost me $3,100. My outfield actually has two Brewers in it. I start with Lorenzo Cain. He's their leadoff guy for $3,900. And then I got Ryan Braun, who's hitting third for them at $3,300. My third outfielder is Austin Jackson, hitting sixth for the Giants today. Cost me just $2,000, but I like that matchup. I think he's a good value pick. And then my utility guy is Carlos Santana of the Phillies. He's hitting fifth for them today. Cost me $3,400. So just real quick, Samardzija is my pitcher. I got Votto at first, first catcher, however you want to look at that. Dozier at second, Robertson at third, Peraza at short, and my outfield is Cain, Braun, and Jackson with my utility guy as Santana. So there you go. That's where I'm headed. None of my games have started, or maybe they started, but I haven't got any scores yet. So it's quite early for that. So we shall see how that goes, right? Yeah, you know, who knows. But while I am here and I'm looking at this, I want to check my home run guys to make sure they're all in the lineup, because I think I have Votto in this as well. So I probably just crushed him tonight. Yeah, my home run guys are Eddie Rosario of the Twins. He's hitting third in their lineup tonight. Giancarlo Stanton of the Yankees. He's hitting third in their lineup tonight. And then, of course, Joey Votto, who's hitting third for the Reds. So I guess that's kind of prototypical of where I should be. So we'll see how this works out for me. Did anybody hit one yet? No, nobody's hit one yet. I think yesterday you needed 4 or 5 to win, so it was one of those days where you had to, you had to put up some numbers to get on the board there. But you know we'll see how it goes, and you know it'd be nice. I've been really scuffling as of late. I don't know why or whatever, you know, whatever's going on. But yeah, it's been rough. I'd gotten off to a pretty good start, and then just floundered. You know, I know I didn't even the NASCAR. We had a free NASCAR league last week. Yesterday. I didn't manage to place in. I thought I did really well. Actually, I did do fairly well, but you know, Austin Dillon got caught up in a wreck, and he was the guy who cost me. All my other guys finished really well. So, you know, just one of those things. I know Dan's guy Clint Boyer got caught up in that same wreck, I think. So I'm sure Dan, if Dan did have him in the lineup, he probably struggled as well, because you know that's one of those things you just can't have when you're doing fantasy like that. And speaking as my injuries continue, I'm sure you all know that J.P. Crawford went on the DL for the Phillies. He's on my team. It looks like here the Twins are finally going to put Miguel Sano on the disabled list. After just about a week of farting around with this guy to try to figure out what's going on, they decided that he's going to go on the DL. So we'll see if it pays off. But yes, some, you know, besides obviously the major Corey Seager injury news, you know, if we get Sano on the DL, the Rockies just put DJ LeMahieu on the DL. So a lot of guys, definitely a lot of guys kind of racking up some DL time here. And, you know, I'm guessing it's that 10-day DL thing that has a lot to do with it, because they come back a lot quicker. But, again, it just seems like there's just a boatload of guys that go on. And, I mean, as a fantasy player, you know, like if you hit some luck like I've hit here, like when Sano goes on the DL, I don't have a spot. I maxed it out for our league with 5 DL spots, and mine are all full. I can't put anybody else on the DL. So I'm going to be playing a bench player short, because I'm not cutting Miguel Sano.
Yeah, I threw someone. Oh, it was Yasiel Puig, and I just kind of clicked on it. And yep. I was like, oh, we have extra. We have more DL spots, because it was 3 before. But I didn't know if we talked about it before. The 6-day.
Yeah, with the way it went last year, and the way they were just randomly putting guys on the DL, I figured I better increase it. So, you know, I went, and the max was only 5. So I was like, well, heck with it. I'll put it up to 5, and, you know, we'll go with that route. Nor did I believe that I was going to be filling it up before, you know, May, but, you know, that happens. So.
Yeah. How many NA spots? Cause I have one guy that, I don't know why I'm not letting go of Keon Broxton. Like, he's going to actually play in Milwaukee, barring, you know, major injury to one of the big 3 out there in the outfield.
Yeah, there's two NA spots in the league.
Okay.
So.
Now.
You know, and what did, you know, I saw Jonas day to day. What did he do?
I don't know. Unfortunately, that guy always seems to have some minor issue here and there.
Yeah, I got it here. Jonas himself actually said after Sunday's game that he believes he'll miss 3 games with a thumb injury that he sustained while sliding headfirst into third base. So.
That sucks.
At least he's not going out to jail.
Yeah, I just wish I was going to the NY, because this weekend is Jonas Gnome night. I don't remember if it was Friday or Saturday, which I was going to go to that game. And then the next night, or the previous, would have been the Yankees bobblehead, where they do a Star Wars Aaron Judge bobblehead, which would have been pretty awesome to have, but I will not have either. but, you know, speaking of the weekend, not the future weekend, but this past weekend, you know, we had 2 playoff series. Well, obviously more than one, but 2 leagues of playoffs. You know, we have about 15 minutes, so I wanted to wrap up the other 3 sports in about 15 minutes. So we'll make it quick on the NBA, real quick on the NBA, because I just want your answer. Will you watch the NBA playoffs again or post LeBron James?
You know, all I ever do with the NBA playoffs is check scores.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't ever see see me like sit down to watch a game. That, you know, that's not gonna happen. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just call me fed up. Call me bitter. And I'm not even a LeBron hater. It's more the fact that, you know, MLB, you're not allowed to use steroids and cheat, but it's okay for the game to cheat for you and juice in the balls. But on the flip side of that, you know what? It's working out for literally everybody in the league, not just Mike Trout. So when it comes to the NBA and the way they've been treating it, you know, they really protect their ratings with LeBron James. And let's be honest, I'm just kind of tired of it. I'm over it.
Yeah. Well, you know, like yesterday, I didn't even turn that game on because I knew there was absolutely no way the NBA would allow LeBron to lose a game. Not in the first round. You know, if it was the conference finals or obviously the NBA finals, that's a different story, but LeBron's not going out in the first round. No, never. You know, until there's a replacement there or there's multiple replacements there, he's not going anywhere. That's just how it works. And I didn't even bother. You know, I caught a highlight. There was a Twitter highlight really early about Lance Stephenson getting called for a flagrant because he barely touched LeBron in the head while he was trying to block a shot. And it definitely wasn't a flagrant, but it's LeBron and he got called for it.
Well, I did see that replay by someone who had their DirecTV going with their, you know, that thing where you can rewind. I forget what it's called, but neither here nor there. And he showed you the full play. Then he rewound it, slowed it down so that everyone can blatantly see that LeBron, you know, a contact was made with his face. And it took him a good 30 to 90 seconds to start selling the eyeball. Like he got poked in the eye and the world was over. And, you know, and I go, and that just highlights why I can't even do it. But, you know, we've spent more than enough time, or we wasted more than enough time telling you why we're not going to watch the NBA playoffs. So it was a pretty interesting weekend, though, with hockey. They are already starting their second round, or they did start it. Things didn't go the way I thought they would. They did, and they didn't. You know, the Jets kind of pulled out a win, but they're going back to Winnipeg tied up. The Capitals, you know, beat the Penguins, and those are about the series I saw. I forgot to tune into the Vegas, or I may have. I don't know. It was such a long weekend. I had family stuff and then so many, you know, playoffs and baseball. It was hard to keep track of what I actually watched. Did you check into any? I did. I was watching the Capitals game yesterday, so that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, you know, I kept up the best I could. You know, there was, you know, so much on. And like while you were gone, I was talking about, you know, I watched a lot of the NASCAR race. You know, I spent quite a bit of time, you know, checking that out. And, you know, obviously that, you know, that's going to take up some time. So I was kind of on that. I saw bits and pieces of one of the Sharks Predators game, and I don't remember which one it was. It may have been the one the Sharks actually won. I think that was game two. So the Predators finally suffered a playoff defeat.
I thought it was Predators Jets.
Sorry, Golden Knights. That's where I was. I'm in the wrong conference. Yeah, Sharks, Golden Knights.
Yeah.
So the Knights finally lost a playoff game.
Yeah. Do you find with, you know, us being kind of big, huge baseball guys, you know, this other thing was going on this weekend, the NASCAR, but do you get more involved with the NHL playoffs when it becomes more down to the conference, when we have just, you know, the two for two going up to the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, you know, the thing that gets me is the game's not on NBC, the main network. When it's on the sports network, that's nowhere close to like my other sports channels. So I genuinely don't flip that far down. And I just end up not getting to the game, you know, and I mean, it's nothing against it. If I remember, or, you know, like I see it in the channel guide while I'm flipping around, I'll jump over and check it out. But yeah, I just, you know, it's just kind of like, crap, I forgot it was on. What's going on? You know, because like I wanted to watch Washington and Pittsburgh yesterday because I have Washington winning it all this year. And I freaking forgot about it, and they went out and picked up a 4-1 win to even the series up. So,
yeah,
you know, it's like, damn it, I gotta pay attention. So, but you know, like tonight we've got Boston at Tampa Bay. That actually should be underway now. And then Vegas goes to San Jose. Boston has a 1-0 lead over Tampa. That's a bit of a surprise. And then I mentioned Vegas and San Jose are 1-1. You know, all these series, you know, any series that plays has played two games is 1-1. So these are looking like they're setting up to be pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be an exciting series. It's going to be fun when we get to that conference finals. I do have a, you know, a precursor question that's, you know, purely hypothetical. But since you get the pick this year, what happens if it's the Predators versus the Penguins again? You know, I'm not going to make you pick, but hard of a decision would that be for you? Are you just going to flip a coin?
You know, it would be difficult. I really think, you know, almost no matter who gets there, unless we get something really weird, it's going to be a tough finals. But yeah, if we do, you know, if it's Preds and Penguins again, yeah, I may just, you know. you know, I may put, you know, their names on the food bowl, and whatever food bowl the cat goes to, I'm taking that team. So
that's a good one. See, that's a lot more creative than flipping a coin or, you know, that's a good one. I like that one. But the big topic of the weekend and, you know, being local here and, you know, surprisingly, I guess a lot of the national guys are liking what the Bears did in their draft. Now, I don't know how much of it you watched. You know, I didn't watch absolutely a second of it. What did you think of the Bears? But was there another team that you thought, you know, stood out?
Yeah, and just before, since we did cover it, there is actually an NBA playoff game tonight. The 76ers are at the Celtics. That's game one of round two there. But, you know, I actually liked what they did. You know, we talked a little bit about it when you and I were here Friday, and I was really impressed with them that when the player I really thought they were targeting, the offensive lineman came off the board right before they were going to pick, which, you know, you and I have had happen in fantasy leagues. We know what that's like, and you've got to kind of scramble. I really thought they were going to panic and reach and go grab a wide receiver, and they didn't. They stayed with the board and probably got the best linebacker in the draft. So, you know, that was impressive. They grabbed, I believe it was a couple offensive linemen, which is what they need. You know, I mean, if Trubisky is your guy, you've got to protect him.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he needed wide receivers. They grabbed a couple of, I think it was one or, I know, I think they ended up with two, you know, a couple later round guys. So, you know, they did a really, you know, what appears to be a nice job. I mean, when you look at it, you know, here and now, of course, you know, we don't know squat until, you know, until we get on the field, but, you know, yeah, as of now, I think they did a much better job than they have in the past. You know, and then as for other teams, sadly, it appears that my Seahawks are just getting crushed for their draft. You know, I saw them rated in some as like one of the worst drafts, you know, and then others have them pretty close to the bottom. I know this article here I have them, they have them with the second worst draft. The only one worse is the Buffalo Bills, according to this article. So, you know, we'll you know, we'll see. I mean, again, you know, it's a lot of, you know, hey, great, you know, this is what they did, blah, blah, blah kind of stuff. And, you know, we don't know. I mean, it looked like, you know, I mean, I was happy they picked a running back in the first round. They need a running back. You know, they don't have one. You know, defensive end, well, they got rid of Michael Bennett. You got to find a way to replace him. They picked the tight end. Jimmy Graham is gone. You need a way to replace him. You know, those were their first three picks, and then they added a linebacker, a safety. A little surprised they picked a punter. I don't know how that happens. But, you know, people were saying they needed to add offensive linemen, and they only grabbed one in the draft. So, you know, that seemed to be the sticking point there, was the fact that people didn't believe that they gave Russell Wilson enough help. So.
Yeah. He can run away. So what I heard this morning about Vegas was they threw out their numbers, odds, whatever you want to call them, and I don't think I have to tell you who's number one. Of course, New England. But the one that everyone found very interesting that they were excited about, because they might have put money on it, was the Bears were given like 5 or 5.5. Now, if you were a gambling man, and I don't know if we can do online bets, or I don't know if you strictly have to go to Vegas to put money down. I don't know how that works, but would you be putting money on the Bears to win 6 or more games this year?
Wow. Ooh.
I mean, you know, every Bears fan has them winning 7 to 10 games, hands down. You know that.
I kind of have them at 6. So that's difficult for me. You know, that's kind of a push there for me. You know, if it was 6.5, I would bet the under. And if it was 5.5, I would bet the over.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it was 5.5.
You know, that
could be wrong, but
yes, yeah, if it was 5.5, I would take the over because I think they're going to win 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, that's kind of the route I would go with that. They, you know, they look like obviously, and it's really early now because, you know, somebody could get hurt or something weird could happen to another team or, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, it's always tough to be like, hey, yeah, you know, let's do this now but, you know, Vegas needs the money. So that's what they do. But yeah, that's where I have them. Of course, like you said, I bet if that's the odds, I bet all the money's coming in on the over.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, just trying to maybe break that down a little bit. How, you know, I know you're not 100% up on it, but how correct or close to being correct is Vegas generally on this stuff?
She walked on you there. I didn't hear the end of your question.
You know, is Vegas pretty good on their numbers? I mean, they're not going to obviously give away anything to Bears fans. But, you know, are they pretty good with their predictions?
Yeah, you know, they always seem to be. I know they're always genuinely in the area here, unless a team just kind of magically comes out of nowhere that nobody was expecting. But, yeah, you know, either one way or the other. But, all right, well, the music. Dan and I gotta go, but hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. But while we're away, get over to sportstimeradio.com, check out what's going on there, follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget about the Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well, so you can hunt us down. We're cool with that. But as always, big thanks for listening live. It's cool when you come on and do that. But remember, you can go over to tunein.com, listen to the podcast anytime you want over there.
SportsTimeRadio.com.